attacked Jerusalem. And because the Jews had been out of favor with God for a long time, and if you read the history of the Jews, you will know that for many, many years, for generations, not even many, many years, God had been warning them, because as God led them into the land of Canaan and God made them to possess the land of Canaan, they began to go after the practices of the Canaanites that the Lord asked them not to do. And for many years, God bore long with them. God was patient with them until it was a time of judgment. And, you know, what I truly love about our God is that even in the midst of judgment, God still has mercy. That was why David could say to God, when David sinned against God and God gave him three choices, he said that I would rather fall in the hands of the Lord than in the hands of man, because he knows that even in judgment, God will be merciful. And so this young man, Daniel, last week we looked at a proclamation he made, that Daniel proposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meats and with the king's wine. He proposed in his heart. And that was what set Daniel and those young men, you know, apart from all the others that were brought into Babylon at that time. That it was, and let's look at Daniel 1, and we'll look at it together. We saw what Daniel was about. And what were the names of those four youth? Any of you youth here last week? Me too, do you remember? You know them? Okay, what were their names? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were their Babylonian names. What were their Hebrew names? Yes, Azariah. Meshach was... Yes. Keziah, tell us. Your name is cooked like theirs. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Very good. And what was Daniel's Babylonian name? Belteshazzar. And one thing you would notice about the names that the king of Babylon gave them were the opposites of what their names meant, or something very far from what their names meant. Sister Kemi told us last week, what was the meaning of Daniel? God is my what? God is my judge. What's the meaning of Belteshazzar? Bel's prince. And what was Bel? Babylonian, who said that? One of the Babylonian gods. So everything about the names that these young men were given were things to make them forget their own God and imbibe the culture and everything about Babylon. They were to be taught the languages and the literature of Babylon. They were to be taught the wisdom of Babylon. So everything about Babylon was what they were to be taught and they were to imbibe. And apart from that, even the food they were given were from the king's table, and the wine they were given were from the king's table. But then Daniel and those four young men, they proposed in their hearts that what these things that we are given, please let us abstain from it, because this is not according to our culture. God gave them favor and they were able to abstain. And in abstaining, they found that they were 10 times better than those who partook of the king's delicacies. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 1. And I'd like to read verse 17. Something that caught my attention from verse 17, which is in line with what I'd like to talk to us all about today. Daniel 1, verse 17. And he says, as for these four youths, or for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill. God gave them what, Tishe? Knowledge and what? And skill. God gave them knowledge and skill and skill in all learning and wisdom. Knowledge, skill, learning in all wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. That was something additional that God gave to Daniel. He had the understanding of visions and dreams. Another person who had understandings of visions and dreams we read about in the Bible was a man, young man called Joseph. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king conversed with them. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And therefore stood they before the king, and all manners, and in all manners of wisdom and understanding, that the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And we'll ask, what was it about these young men that made them 10 times better than everybody else? Yes, they are gifts, but how did those gifts come about? Because what? Because they praised God. That is very true. There was something additional, which is what I'm going to teach you today. And because you are listening, I want you to listen very well. Because as a young man, you will get to that place also where what we are talking about today will be a part of your life. Wisdom. Wisdom. Learning. Skill. Understanding. There are many people who seek it, who look for it. There are many people who have it by just the virtue of the fact that they can, they have an extra cell in their brain to assimilate somebody like Ohosa here, you know. Just that extra cell to assimilate more than other people. But there's something that God gives to ordinary people like you and I that would make you like a Daniel, like a Mishael, like an Azariah, like a, what's Hananiah. There's something about the life of a Christian that makes you more than ordinary in the eyes of the world. And we're going to look at the life of David and compare it to what God had done in the life of Daniel and some other people in the Bible. So let's go to the first Samuel. So from Daniel, just go back towards the beginning again. And we're going to look at 1 Samuel, chapter 16. And young men and young women, I want you to listen to this particularly because your life might depend on it. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I'll read from verse 1. And before I read from verse 1, I'll tell you the background. So there was a king in Israel that the people said that the people of Israel said that they wanted a king, and God allowed them to have a king. And the name of that king was Saul. And God anointed Saul to be king over Israel. But Saul did not obey God with his heart completely. I said, Saul did not obey God with his heart completely. When God asked Saul to do something, yes, he did what God asked, but he did not do everything that God asked. And that is why I said, I want you to listen very well because your life could depend on it. The fact that you all take the time to come to church every Sunday, it means something. And there's no point you coming every Sunday only to get the short end of the bargain. The fact that you spend your time, you could be on the golf or tennis course on Sunday like this, but you come because there's something that you want to gain. And I don't want you to be shortchanged in any way by the reason of your sacrifice every Sunday to come. Saul, he obeyed God, but he did not obey God with a complete heart. And so God said that he rejected Saul as being king. And told, while Saul was still on the throne, God asked Samuel, who was the prophet at that time, to go and anoint another king. Samuel was like, how would it be that there's a reigning king and I will go and anoint another king? Do you know what will happen? That king who is reigning will say, off with my head. And we now come to chapter 16 here. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. And I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And then call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you will do. And you will anoint unto me him whom I name unto you. And Samuel did that which the Lord spoke and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come in peace? And he said, in peace. I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked at Eliab and said, Eliab was Jesse's first son, and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees, not as man sees, for the Lord looks at the, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab. Abinadab was another son, and made him to pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath chosen none of these ones. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are all these your children? Are all of your children here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. Let me go and he keeps the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch for him, for we will not sit down until he comes. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and of a beautiful countenance and handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day onward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samuel from that day forward. Please remember it. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samuel from, upon David from that day onward. Now, what we read about Daniel that made him have wisdom, understanding, knowledge, skill, is this same thing that came upon David. It's called the anointing of the Lord that is brought about by the Spirit of the Lord. In everything about salvation, there is what they call an inworking of the Lord upon the heart of a person. Before you come to have the knowledge of Christ within you, when you are what we call in the world or still an unbeliever, you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the work that the Holy Spirit is doing, the work that the Lord is doing in you as a person is an inworking. God is outside, working in you. Working until His Spirit comes to live within you. After a person is born again, there is now an outworking of the Holy Spirit that indwells a believer that the world is able to see. That is why the Bible will say that out of your bellies, out of you, will flow what? Rivers of living waters. The filling of the Holy Spirit is not never an inworking. The filling of the Holy Spirit is an outworking, because it's an anointing that God gives because of the Spirit that lives inside of you that is now able to make you do the things that God wants you to do. Now, when a person is not born again, you don't need to clean yourself up. You don't need to do anything before the work of the Lord starts within you for the Holy Spirit to come inside of you. The only thing the Bible says is that you have faith, you believe. And even that faith, God Himself gives it to you. The faith that you have to believe in God is given by God to believe. Now that you believe, there is a work that God does from inside of you. A work that is, first of all, predicated upon obedience. A work that is predicated upon certain things that I will show us. Because if you want the knowledge of skill in your lives as young men, and I'll tell you something that life is going to show you. If you want the knowledge of God, if you want the skill and the wisdom of God to operate in your lives, it only comes by the anointing of God, by the Spirit of God within your lives. And everybody can have it. Every one of us can have it. Now, let's go to the book of Ephesians. I'll show you something there real quick while we hold on to 1 Samuel. Ephesians is in the New Testament. Somebody has a question? Ohosa, please, chapter 2 from verse 8 to 10. Can you help me read it loud? Yes.
And says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them.
You see, before you got born again, God knew who will be born again. And before you were born again, God had ordained certain things that this will be the path you will step through in life. This will be the path that you will go in life. And God doesn't bring anyone to salvation to leave you. God brings you to the place of salvation to lead you. And in being born again, God directs your steps. And by His Spirit, He gives you wisdom onto how to do things, skill. He gives you knowledge of everything. Now, we read of earlier on of Bezalel and Oholiab. who are anointed by God to building the tabernacle the way God wanted it to be built. Every one of us, there's something that God has created us to do. Me, I found my calling in this work of the ministry that I know that I need the anointing of God for. I need the fire of the Holy Spirit for. And in what I do in being a software developer, because I know for sure that the skills that I have in everything I do is by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this is how I know. When I started work here in America, the first job I did, you know, when I came to America, first of all, I came as a student. I didn't have papers to stay in America. It was after my practical year, if I didn't get a job, I was supposed to leave America. And the way it happened was that there were companies that will file for you back then. You know, there are not so many now. Back then, that will file for you if you are good. They want you. And so whether companies wanted to file or not, I applied. I interviewed. There were companies that called me to California, to Chicago to interview because I was good at what I did. How was I good at what I did? When I was reading in university, my textbook would be on one hand and my Bible would be on the other hand. That is how I read throughout my MBA. I did MBA, right? I will read my Bible. There were nights my uncle will come, he will see me reading, and what is it about this guy? But I knew there was something I wanted. Just like we read about Daniel, that he proposed in his heart. There was something I proposed in my own heart that in this country that I am, in this place, I was going to serve God with a diligent heart. In my education, I was going to study and be, it wasn't because I wanted to be number one. I was just going to be the best at what God had given me the anointing to be good at. And I prayed that that would happen. And so did it happen. So when I interviewed, it was about a year or two later that they told me what happened at that interview. And this is how you would know that God is with you. There were 10 departments that I was interviewing for. The first department, first of all, when I interviewed in Chicago, you know, I didn't know who was going to file for me. And the company was at Freddie Mac in Virginia. I went to Freddie Mac, interviewed there. When I entered, one of the managers, the first thing he said, just chatting up, "Do you know we file for people?" I was like, "I didn't know you filed though. Me, I'm just interviewing anyway, can interview." Okay. And I interviewed. The first one I liked was a black man there. I said, "Okay, I'll work for you." He was the networking department. A few days after I got home, that man called me and said, "Bumi, I like you. But for the kind of career that would make you go far, there's another manager that really wants you that I think you should change to that manager. If you want to work for me, fine, I will leave it, but I think you should go and work for that other manager." And I said, "Well, if you say so, I will go." And I went, I worked for that other manager. And that was how I started my career as a financial engineer. You needed the skills in finance and in IT. So it was, I said, years later that I learned that at that interview, all 10 managers picked me as their number one candidate. And because I went with this other manager, they had to call that manager to say, "Please release this man to us because this is where we want him." And everywhere where I worked, I have been the only black technical person. The only first place where I worked that I wasn't the only black, there were two black technical people, was when I worked with the Treasury Department. And one thing I have seen, brothers and sisters, is that everywhere I worked, because I knew that I was a minority, and the kind of work I did was one that required a lot of skill, it made me hold on to God. It made me ask for the anointing of God, that when I went to work, as I sat down, it became a practice till this day. When I sit down to work, I say, Lord, this is a new day. Anoint my hands. Anoint my mouth in speaking. Grant me the skill and wisdom that you grant those who seek and follow you. And that is how it's always been in my life. It's not that I have any special learning. I wasn't the first in school. But I know that there's a difference when the anointing of God is upon the life of a Christian. I know very much. The same way when I preach the word of God, I know it's just like when God fills you to speak, it's easier. You don't have to struggle. But when, and I know times in which, well, please, I confess my sin. There are times in which I haven't been as prepared, and it's a struggle. My mouth will run dry. I'll be looking for things to say. But when the anointing of God comes, there's just a flow. There's just a flow. And it's not only for the pastor alone. It is for every child of God. Daniel was not a pastor. Oholiab was not a pastor. Every one of you young ones, you need that same anointing of God to be able to be what God wants you to be. Just as Ohosa read, God has prepared you for something that you should walk therein. And God hasn't prepared you to leave you without the anointing to do what he wants you to do. But there's a preparation also that comes with the anointing. The preparation of, you have to set within your heart that everything that God tells you to do, you will obey. You have to make a preparation on your hearts, because the Holy Spirit, where he dwells, filth cannot dwell there. He cannot dwell where there's filth. So you have to make a preparation in your hearts that I will live in a way that will glorify God, in a way that is right, that is holy. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit can be grieved easily. You have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, to knowing when you have grieved the Spirit, to repent. You know, there are some people who say that, well, I know that God will forgive me, but I'll still sin. It doesn't work that way. If you want the anointing of God to work within your life. So, Daniel received the anointing of God by the Spirit of God to become extraordinary. Daniel was an ordinary boy. The extraordinary in the life of every Christian is the anointing. It's the anointing. And then there was something else I noticed. Do you know, if the anointing is God, of God is upon your life, people will begin to seek you out. To the extent that people will ask, what is it about you? What is it about you? And let me tell you something else that happens. And that will be for another sermon. When the anointing of God is upon your life, jealousy will come around you. Because there will be people who will say, is it only you? Is it only you? It happened in the life of this young man, David. And maybe we'll have time in a few weeks to continue, where his brothers, as innocent as that young man is, when he went to the field, his brothers called him that, you wicked boy, why have you come to this place? What are you doing here? It happens in workplaces also. If there's the Spirit of God upon you, Satan will rise up against you. And he will use people to rise up against you. Now, upon David also, Saul rose up against him, but God gave him a wisdom and wit on how to deal with it. Because the way he responded, the way you respond, will also affect whether the Holy Spirit is still upon you or the Holy Spirit begins to move away from you. It's a double-edged sword. But God is the one that grants the grace through and through. Now, one thing I also know, the anointing of God can leave. Just as the anointing of God can come, the anointing of God can also leave. And we read about Saul, just what we're talking about. Before God anointed David, the anointing of God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit departed from Saul. There's another person in the Bible that we read that the Holy Spirit departed from. Who did even know that the Holy Spirit had departed from him? It was this young man also, very, very strong. He was the Superman of back then. Who? Samson, exactly. But Samson loved women. He loved women. He loved strange women. Young men are laughing. It's a lesson to all of you also. He loved strange women. The Bible says, don't cast your pearl before swine. That was exactly what Samson did. The most treasured thing that God had done in his life, just let it go like that. Brothers and sisters, young men and young women, there are some dealings of God in the life of a Christian that you have to be careful what you do with it. There was a man who loved food so much that he bargained his birthright for a morsel of soup. Yes, you are reading your Bible. And there's another young man who loved women so much that the encrypted secret to his power, he just gave another woman the key to the encryption. And you know what happened? The Holy Spirit left him, and he didn't even know that the Holy Spirit had left. Just as the anointing of God comes, the anointing of God can easily leave. The way we live our lives has a big part to play. The decisions we make, the sacrifices we make. You know that there are certain things that God loves. You know that some women, they don't like flowers. They would rather you buy them or give them the money. There are some women who don't like money. They would rather you spend some time with them. There are some women who do not like you spend some time with them. Sister Shadi, why are you doing like this? They would rather you wash the dishes after dinner. So, but there's God also likes some things. God also likes some things. God likes a person who sacrifices on his behalf. When you determine within your heart that you are going to make a sacrifice for God, and it can be a sacrifice in anything. David, he said that he would not give unto God that which cost him nothing. It was a sacrifice. That every time David gave something to God, it cost him something. If you determine within your heart that you'll make your life a life that costs you something to give to God, God will anoint you. He loves sacrifice. God loves a heart that easily forgives. And that is one of the things I've seen that will make the Holy Spirit depart quickly. If you can't forgive, the Holy Spirit will not stay. That anointing, it will not stay. You know how children, They fight themselves. The next minute, they're talking, they're holding hands, and that is how God really wants us to behave. You know how we fight ourselves as adults, and you're like, I won't talk to that person again. Who do you think I am? You know? God doesn't like it, though. I know that for sure. God doesn't like it. It will make the Holy Spirit anointing leave you quickly. But if you can forgive easily, like a child, it makes him happy. By God's grace, we'll continue in 2 weeks' time. Let us pray.